If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you've been keeping up with your Proverbs study, if you'll kind of turn to Proverbs and then go right, it's right behind Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what we've experienced already today. And Father, as we worship around your word, and Father, we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, that speaks about our need for each other as friends. And above all, Lord, our need for you in our lives. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts down deep inside. Father, make us still right now, as we talked about in our Sunday school class today, that we can hear, Lord, you speaking to our hearts. Father, if there are any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, that have never made that commitment to you, Father, I pray that you would touch that heart most of all this morning. Father, have your way in what we do right now, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. There's a quote about friendship, and it says, a true friend, is the first person who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A true friend is the first person that comes in when the whole world has gone out. Have you ever experienced that? You find yourself, things are going along just fine, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you're looking around for somebody that's a friend, and it just seems like the world has just left you right by yourself. But then you get that call. Then you get that visit. Then you get that card. And you realize, I got a friend. You know, a lot of times we go through things and we don't realize how many friends we really have. Until we go through a trial, and then we realize just how much people really care about us. Friends and friendship is important. We've all got friends and we all need friends. In my job, I've got a number of people that I work with to get the goals that are set before us accomplished, and we've got a business relationship. But with many of them, we've also got a personal relationship. We're friends. I remember years ago, we sent a Christmas card out. Our family did, and Spencer was young, and we were going to the hockey games, and we were getting ready to go get our pictures made, and Spencer had taken his hockey gear. And I remember walking out of the house, I was going, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to get a picture made in this." I said, "No, you're not." And he did. The photographer looked at him and said, "Put that on." And Spencer had his gloves on, and he had his hockey stick. And the photographer said, "Rear back like you're going to hit a slap shot and give me a real mean look." And Spencer was going, "Rrr." And he took the picture. And I took that picture, and I put a caption on it. I sent it to all my agents. I said, "My dad said you did a real good job this year, but he wants a lot more out of you next year. Don't make him send me after you." Do you know, to this day, Some of them still have that picture up in their office. They remember when he was born. They remember when I got engaged to Ginger. They remember when we got married. And for a lot of them, I know things that are going on in their lives. I know one of them, his father passed away a few months ago. You've heard me talk about Joe and Rosie Jenkins and the cancer that she is dealing with. You see, for me, it's one thing to have a business relationship, but I've also found when you're friends, a lot more can be accomplished. Friendship is important. Chuck Swindoll said this, and I wrote this down because I think it is so appropriate. He said, "The neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit that there is to the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation that is dispensing liquor instead of grace and escape rather than reality. But it is permissive, accepting, and an inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. There you can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because everyone has in their human heart the desire to be known and to be loved and to seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers." Basically what he was saying is shouldn't churches have the same type of friendship that a lot of people go looking for in bars and other places? You know, there was a TV show that ran when I was in college that ran for a lot of years, Cheers. You remember that? And you remember every time Norm would walk in, the people would just greet him, wouldn't they? They would greet because they and even the theme song for that. You know, you want to go where everybody knows your name. They're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. What if that one could have been written about a church? You see, friendship is important. This passage that I read this morning, I've actually used that passage in a wedding ceremony, and I believe it has that application, but I believe the writer of Ecclesiastes had a lot more in mind than just that. I think he was trying to get across to us that to survive in today's world and even in the world back in that time, we can't do it alone. We need the help of brothers and sisters in Christ. We need one another. Listen, I'm an only child. I grew up an only child. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I didn't come from a big family. And there's a certain part of me that's a little bit of a loner. Ginger even knows that. But when the big scheme of things, I've got to admit, that I don't want to be alone. I want my family. I want my friends. I need my church. We need each other. We need each other. This writer of Ecclesiastes, he wants us to understand that spending time to develop friendships is a good investment for us to do. When he says in verse 9 that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor, that word, those words good return can be translated to the very same thing that means like a return on an investment, like a dividend coming back to you because you've invested money into something and it's given you a good return back. The best investment that we can ever make in this life is probably not going to be a financial one, but what the investment that we spend the time to make in relationships with each other and most of all with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to get our best return in this life. As we go through this life, there's two kind of things that we can give our lives to. One is possessions and power and all the material things that this world offers. The late Malcolm Forbes, he is attributed with saying, The one who dies with the most toys wins. Have you ever heard that phrase? The one who dies with the most toys wins. Well, he's gone on now, and I'm sure now he knows that that's not the case. I don't know where he ended up. I hope I see him one day in heaven. But I'm sure now he knows when he is in eternity that it's not about the accumulated possessions and money and power that we have here in this world. It's not about that. The other thing that we can spend our time doing in this life is focusing on relationships, first with our Heavenly Father and then with each other. Proverbs that we're going through, when we get to chapter 18, we'll find a verse that says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, if we want friends, we've got to be friends. So let's look at a few of the characteristics of a real friend that we can find from these verses. And if you still got your Bibles open, if you look at verse 10, it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. A true friend is going to help you when you're down. We've got a lot of acquaintances. Every one of us do. We've got a lot of people that we know. But when it comes right down, we can probably count in a very finite number who our true friends are. I've been blessed through years in working and traveling all over the place. I've met a lot of people. I've been to a lot of different places, and I've made a lot of different contacts. Matter of fact, we were on vacation a few years ago down at Myrtle Beach, and Spencer and I were walking into the main hotel there at Kingston Plantation one day, and I ran into a guy and his son that I knew in the industry. And we left, and Spencer looked at me and he said, Dad, every time we go somewhere, you find somebody you know. And he's about right. I mean, it's that way. But this was an acquaintance. This was somebody that I knew, and we stopped and we had a conversation. But I doubt if I found myself in dire need tonight and I called him, I doubt that he would lift a finger to come and help me. There's a difference. There's a difference. But now I know I've got a lot of Christian brothers and sisters in this church that if I needed you tonight, you're a phone call away. And it goes the other way too, and I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Somebody said one time that you'll find that you've been successful in life if you've got enough close friends to act as pallbearers as your funeral. But I think where our true friends are is when you call them at 2 a.m. and you say, I need you. They don't ask what the problem is. They ask where you are while they're getting their keys and getting ready to go. A true friend is going to help you when you're down. The writer of Proverbs says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So a real friend is going to help us when we're down. If you look down in verse 11, it says, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Now, we have a tendency sometimes to take that passage so literally we miss the point of this. We miss the point of this. The point is more about than just keeping each other physically warm. The point is that we live in a world that is cold a lot of times. Not weather cold. I mean, it treats us with a cold shoulder, with cold comments. It's not very nice overall. And we need people that are going to help us make it through those times when this world doesn't seem to have any care for us. It's times like that where we need friends that are going to give us emotional strength and lift us up and build us up. And not just build us up for the sake of our own ego, but be willing to tell us where we're wrong, but also tell us where we're right. I found that there's two types of people in this world. There's encouragers and there's discouragers. There's people that will tear you down no matter what you do. And a lot of times I don't even think they know they're doing it. But then there's people that'll look for the good in everything. And even when you fall, they'll tell you, you'll get it next time. What can I do to help? Is there anything I can do to help you through this? Folks, we need to be encouragers. We need to be encouragers. Also look in verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. This is really talking about how somebody might be overtaken by one person, but there's strength in numbers. It reminded me back of years ago when Ginger and I were working as youth directors here at this church. We had a large, large youth group that was all in high school at the same time. It was Deanna and Faith and Dwayne and Hannah, and the list just went on and on and on. And I'm going to tell you something. That crowd was bold in high school. They were bold in high school because there was strength in numbers. One might have been a little bit timid to share their faith, but the minute one stepped up to share their faith, the other one stepped up with them. Am I right? And there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. This world may beat me down. It may beat you down. But folks, if we're unified as a church and a body under Christ, the world can't defeat us. I don't mean might not, can't. My Bible says, if you'll follow me, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. We need each other. We need each other's backs. We need each other's backs. And a friend, a true friend, is committed to helping us grow spiritually. Proverbs 27:17 said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The greatest gift one friend can give to another is leading them to Jesus Christ. Do you have friends in this world that don't know Christ as their Savior? I ran into a friend of mine just the other night, telling Joey and Jeanette last night, it was a mutual friend of ours. And I was in a restaurant picking up food, and this guy came over and he just hugged me. And he's always loved to talk, but I even noticed there was something different about the way he was talking. It was, listen, don't be a stranger, call me sometime. And even Jeanette said, you know, it was almost kind of a melancholy mood that he was in the last time they saw him. I don't know what's going on in this person's life, but you know what? If I don't invite him to church and if I don't tell him about Jesus Christ, I'm not doing what I need to do. I'm not doing what I need to do. True friends want to see us grow. True friends will want to see us grow deeper in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about all of these different things, somebody that helps us when we're down, somebody that will keep us safe in this cold and cruel world, somebody that will protect us and have our back, somebody that will help us grow spiritually, you might be sitting there thinking, you know what, Pastor, I really wish I had a friend like that. And if you know Jesus Christ, you do. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need Him. Just as much as we need each other, you need Him even more. The writer of Proverbs says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I never had any natural brothers. I've got several adopted brothers. But a friend that would stick closer than a brother, that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, let me invite you this morning to make Him your best friend. He deserves to be. He deserves to be for several reasons. He deserves to be my best friend and your best friend because he knows us better than anybody else. One definition of a friend I read one time is it's somebody that knows you inside and out and likes you anyway. Jesus knows us inside and out and loves us anyway. He deserves to be our friend. Second, Jesus deserves to be our friend, mine and yours, because he has done more for us than anybody else ever has or ever will. The Gospel of John says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He already counts us as his friends. He also deserves to be my friend and your friend because he's always going to be there when he needs us, when we need him. He's always going to be there when we need him. Ginger mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class about how many times we pick up this hymn book and we sing through the words of the songs that somebody penned through the inspiration of God, and we just sing them. And as I was preparing this, one of my Papa Spence's favorite songs and Mom's favorite songs was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I mean, we sing that, it rolls off our tongues a lot of times, but just listen, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He deserves to be our friend. He's going to take care of us when we're down. He's going to take care of us in a cold and cruel world. He's going to be there to protect us. He'll even protect our reputation when Satan is looking and trying to criticize us and throw us under the bus. Our Lord will remind him that we're covered under the blood. And he'll help us grow spiritually if we'll just let him. He's already called us friends. He's already called us friends, not servants, but friends. He's standing here today with his hand out, waiting for us to accept him as our friend. If you've already done that, you've got a friend that will never leave you, that will never forsake you. But if you're here this morning and you've never accepted that relationship with Jesus Christ, won't you do that today? He's standing here with his hand out, and he's just waiting for your decision. Will you accept him this morning? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning as we, Father, see from your word that we need one another. We need friends in our lives. Father, it's clear that above anything else, Lord, we need you in our life. Father, the last part of our scripture said a threefold cord is not easily broken. Father, when we have the two cords, Father, of Christians fellowshipping one with another, surrounded, Lord, by that cord of you above it all, Father, that is not something that is easily broken. And Father, I pray that every one of us here this day knows you as our personal Savior. But Father, if not, right now, Lord, at this time of decision, Father, I ask you to touch hearts, Lord, and change lives. We know you're waiting. We know you've done more for us than anyone else, and you want to be that friend. Father, help us all to accept you. Bless us now, Lord, in this time of decision. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. Our closing hymn is